We're going to transition now from running hard to part two of the book. At the end of part two, we'll do two chapters and then we're going to take a break. But we go from running hard and running on empty and being worn out by service and expectations and disappointments to now we're going to look at David and deal with the reality of running away. The reality of running away, which happens all the time. Chapter 5, my own worst counselor. Again, I tell you what, this man that wrote the book, he's got a way with words. The title alone, Worn Out by Obedience, some of the chapter titles, my own worst counselor. Profound and pregnant in the use of these words. And here I pray you'll see what I think is perhaps the devil's largest dagger under the umbrella of the professing church. The danger of spiritual fatigue, running away. Chapter 5, my own worst counselor. He quotes David Bowie, of all people, at the beginning of the chapter. David Bowie said at one point on his carnival ride of faith that went anywhere and everywhere, I felt totally, absolutely alone. And I probably was alone because I pretty much had abandoned God, end quote. Proverbs 13:12 tells us that hope deferred makes the heart sick. A weary soul, says Moore, left unchecked, causes us to turn inward and begin the process of taking matters into our own hands. Spiritual fatigue often pushes us to counsel ourselves regarding what is best, irrespective of God's promises and instructions. When we have a weary soul, we tend to say, well, what do I think? Because apparently what God thinks isn't working out so well for me. Let me go ahead and take the reins. Moore says there's only one voice we tend to listen to. Each of us enter the dangerous mode of self-counsel when we get here. Self-counsel. We internalize our thoughts and feelings, refusing to listen to any voice but our own. Self-counsel, says Moore, elevates personal cravings while ignoring realistic consequences. Self-counsel will lead you away from God, to places of irrationality. Self-counsel will lead you away from God to places of irrationality, immorality, dishonesty, and spiritual bankruptcy. You are, friend, your own worst counselor. You are your own worst counselor. David said at one point, I am a man in the midst of lions. His years on the run dulled David's spiritual senses. The long days and lonely nights were wearing him down. David wrote several psalms while being pursued by Saul. Psalm 57 in particular is very powerful. In Psalm 57, you hear a desperate prayer. Read this psalm and hear David struggle with discouragement and exhaustion. You'll see it. You'll feel it. Moore asks, are you by chance in a similar place right now? Have you been or will you be? If so, take heed in the help that comes from God's word. You see, David feared Saul would ultimately overpower him. He thought that the power of Saul and that threat would be bigger than the promise of God that said a different outcome would happen. David feared Saul would ultimately overpower him. He was bowed down as a result in distress, pinned down in a personal prison, engulfed with the despair of loneliness. The only way you get there is that you've lost sight of the power and the promise of Almighty God. That's why the devil is constantly trying to distract you, trying to get you to spin plates, anything that gets you off of your focus and faith in God. And every one of us is vulnerable to this. Every one of us. David began ultimately to doubt the promises of God. Think about it. Now, if you'd met David and that day said, excuse me, David, question for you. Excuse me, are you doubting the promises of God? David would say, of course not, you moron. I would never doubt the promises of God. What kind of question is that? He would. You know he would. He would never stand up and say, yes, I am. I've thought it through and I've decided to doubt the promises of God. No, the point is he hasn't thought it through. Or he's been self-deceived through his self-counsel. And his actions are now telling you exactly what he believes. This again makes people really uncomfortable. I say to you as a pastor, as a missionary, as a discipler, as a brother to you, hold people accountable for their actions. They reveal the attitudes that are behind them. Hold people accountable to their behaviors because it reveals what the beliefs really are. If you love them, you will do that. The power David felt when he went up against Goliath was now nothing but a distant memory. Think about it. Little shepherd boy called of God, empowered by God, and he chose us. He knew it wasn't his personal bravado. He said, I'm coming at you, Goliath, in the name and in the power of my God. And if you read the account, he charged Goliath. He charged him. That same David now is running and getting worn out. He's running away because he's doubting the promises of God. David's self-counsel led to unhealthy conclusions and dangerous decisions. And so does yours and my self-counsel. It leads us to unhealthy conclusions and dangerous decisions. There's a downward spiral that comes with self-counsel. Self-counsel, says Moore, is a solo exercise in which one rationalizes their actions and always ends up getting their own way. Imagine that. We self-counsel so that we can get our own way. They set aside God's promises and insert their plans based on how they feel. I feel, therefore I do. Self-counsel ultimately leads to self-deception, and that's exactly what happened to David. We end up believing lies. Self-counsel, if you think about it, it began in the Garden of Eden. Satan shows up. Did God really say? You know, he just doesn't want you to be like him. It's fine. Go ahead. You know, makes sense to me. Looks good. I mean, it's just an apple. You know, what's the big deal, right? You see it. I see it in retrospect. We tend to be blinded by our self-counsel in the heat of the moment. Think about it. Adam was standing right there next to her. He didn't speak up. He drank the Kool-Aid too. Self-counsel. Moore says, tragically, Eve bought what Satan was selling. And I have to tell you again, as a pastor, I see a lot of people buying what Satan's minions are selling. Paul said it this way. They put away sound doctrine and they call unto themselves those who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Not my words, God's word. Self-counsel leads us to embrace the lies of Satan and to ignore the promises of God. Ignoring God, who would do it? Nobody in church would admit to it. They wouldn't claim it, but it happens all the time. Ignoring God. Think about Cain. God warned Cain. Oh, I keep knocking off my own thing here. God warned Cain and said to him, listen, sin is crouching at your door. Sin is crouching at your door. And you must rule over it. Most people miss that second half of the verse. You've got a part to play. We've got a part to play. Self-counsel goes against what God would tell us. Moore says, self-counsel will eventually lead to sin's mastery over our thoughts and our actions. God's instruction is pushed aside and his truth is discounted. Yeah, but. Well, you know, if you take this piece out of context, I can make the Bible seemingly change the meaning of that. Happens all the time. We sideline God. through our own self-counsel. Think about Sarah. Perfect example. Sick and tired of waiting. I know what I can do. Here, let's do it this way. I heard what God said. It's not happening. Surely he's given us a mind to think. I can see how to do this. Let's do it this way. Look, everybody wins. It's a win-win-win. Isn't that wonderful? Wrong. Self-counsel. Oh, and don't miss this. Sarah's plan, it succeeded. She got exactly what she wanted. Don't miss that. We often think that if it's not of God, well, it's got to crash and burn. No, many times God's people are the ones that crash and burn. They're called martyrs. And the children of the devil, they seemingly succeed. Look at Sarah. You get what you want. Doesn't mean that God was in it. Doesn't mean that at all. And the fact that one would die, Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, die at the end of a spear with a loaded gun in their holster. Well, apparently God wasn't in that. I mean, who goes and dies when you could have at least lived to fight another day? And today the Aka Indians are saved, and the man who killed Nate Saint travels the world telling everybody about the king that saved him. And that through the death of the one and the commitment of the family that stayed, he knew that this God must be the one true God. And in a surrendered state, then felt the grace of Almighty God come down and save his soul. Do not think for a second that the Nate Saints and the Jim Elliots of the world somehow demonstrate a failure of their faith or a failure of our God. And that the seeming victories and the accomplishments of what come out of sin are somehow sanctified by the results. Ishmael is still wreaking havoc and demonstrating the power of that sin. Friends, yours and my faithful obedience or faithless disobedience will have ripples that will last long into the future until Christ returns. Do not miss either one of those. With God out of the picture and obedience off the table, our hearts and minds move to the dark side very quickly. Self-counsel leads us to take action, any action. We refuse to wait on God. Sometimes those plans, they'll seem to succeed, leading us to believe that our actions were right. But sooner or later, the consequences will come. Sooner or later, the consequences will come. Now, for the person that thinks it's all about them, it's hard for this to be believable. They say, no, it's all about me. At the end of the day, friends, when self takes the place of our Savior, self-counsel will prove itself to be self-centered. And that self-centered self-counsel, it's going to deny Christ, and there will be a reckoning. In one way, shape, or form, whether it's waking you up and bringing you home, Christian, or letting you go and giving you over to your heart's desire, there will be a reckoning. Only self-counsel does this kind of damage. This isn't done to you, it's done by you, to you. Our self-counsel places us on a dangerous path. So, what leads us to this kind of wrong thinking? Wouldn't that be helpful to know? Where are those warning signs? Ron Moore says there are three unhealthy mile markers on this road. Doubt, where God's promise is not thought to be valid. Independence, where we think God's plan isn't working, so I'll take the reins. And escape, when apparently God's presence just isn't enough and you're going to get away, or so you think. Doubt, when we think God's promise isn't valid. See, David's feelings had become in direct contrast with God's word. He was feeling and thinking and responding to that which was opposite of what God's word had told him. David was finding God's promises harder and harder to believe. Think about that, friends. Is that not a snapshot of the drift? When you see somebody in the midst of the drift, they're showing you and oftentimes telling you that they're finding God's promises harder and harder to believe. I just don't know if it's ever. I'm not seeing anything. I'm just really struggling. But this is what he says. That's exactly where David faltered. When you stop believing the promises of God. It leads to that sense of independence. Well, apparently it's not working. Do you not see? Look, I've been praying for this forever and it's not happening. Obviously, something's wrong. That's what's wrong, is thinking that something is obviously wrong because God isn't jumping two things in your timetable. One of the greatest blessings we have is one of the hardest blessings we have, is that the Lord loves us enough to refine us to persevere. How do you grow in perseverance? Through developing patience. How do you develop patience and perseverance? You have to wait. You have to work through. You have to be able to hear no, not yet, and keep going. Independence comes when self-counsel leads us to take self-directed action. You do what you think is best for you at the moment, even if it means escaping to the land of the enemy. Living in enemy territory seems better to you than resting in God's promise. Happens all the time. This escape, why would somebody escape? Why go to enemy territory? Hear me, because again, nobody's going to admit this. It's because God's presence isn't enough for them. It's not enough to be in the presence of Almighty God. It isn't enough to be where you know his power and his presence are permeating the people. You want action. You want what you want. And so you escape. That's what David did. Self-counsel concludes that God is not enough. Self-counsel leads us to confirm that our actions are what are needed. Disobedience does not always bring about immediate consequences. So we rationalize. See? It worked out. I feel better. Therefore, this is of the faith. And that's factually incorrect. Factually incorrect. So, what do you and I do? I love this. Again, there's hope in this book. The author does not leave us with this reality of, oh, you're running away. He says, what do we need to do to make sure that we won't be our own worst counselor? Two things. And friends, you're going to think that this man's been worshiping with us for years. Two things. God's word and koinonia. God's word and koinonia. He puts it this way. You need a daily dose of God's word and you need a commitment to community, aka koinonia. Let's take a look at this from the standpoint of how do you prevent and fight against the dangers of self-counsel? First, a daily dose of God's word. There's no better guard against self-counsel than to read God's word daily. Amen. Realize the power of Scripture. The Bible provides everything God wants us to know about him and ourselves. That was last week's sermon. The Holy Scriptures are letters from home. That's what Augustine said. The Holy Scriptures are letters from home. Doesn't that put things in a wonderful perspective? Say, yeah, but it's hard, but it calls me to, but there's so much more than just grace. Say, yeah, that's what letters from home do. They share with you the love, the grace, and the call on your life. He says the Apostle Paul shared the importance of God's word in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We understand its purpose. Listen to this, great analogy. Like a GPS mapping system, Scripture guides you regarding the road you should travel. It tells you when you've taken the wrong turn. It corrects your route by showing you how to get back on the right path. And it provides you with the instructions to stay on the right road. What a powerful truth. See, God's word directs us from our counsel back to his. God's word takes us out of our counsel and puts us back to him. When our eyes are on our challenges, says Moore, self-counsel takes over. When our focus is on our challenges, self-counsel takes over. But when our focus is on the truth of Scripture, God's counsel rules. It's such a blessing. Reading God's word each day protects us from this self-counsel. C.S. Spurgeon said, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. You show me a well-worn, studied Bible, and I'll show you somebody who's probably going to be solid in their footing and their faith." You cannot move from self-counsel unless you are absorbing the counsel of God on a regular basis. There's no shortcut. There's no alternative. Now, second in this battle against self-counsel and its dangers, a commitment to koinonia. Moore says, "The remedy for self-counsel begins with a steady dose of God's word. It continues when we are committed to doing life with other believers." Doing life, koinonia. The Christian life was never meant to be lived alone or superficially. Listen to what Eugene Peterson says, and I quote, "If we stay at home by ourselves and read the Bible, we're going to miss a lot, for our reading will be unconsciously conditioned by our culture, limited by our ignorance, distorted by our unnoticed prejudices. In worship, we're part of the larger congregation where all the writers of Scripture address us, where hymn writers use music to express truths which touch us, not only in our heads, but in our hearts, where the preacher, who has just lived through 6 days of doubt, hurt, faith, and blessing with the worshipers, speaks the truth of Scripture in the language of the congregation's present experience. We want to hear what God says and what he says to us. We want to worship in the place where attention is centered on these personal and decisive words of God." End quote. And I ask you, friend, is that what you want? We ask every person evangelistically, what do you want? The answer to that question will reveal so much more than the short answer that it tends to represent. You see, connection and community, koinonia, supernatural unity, is essential, says Moore, to protecting ourselves from self-counsel. It's your brother or sister that loves you enough to risk you not liking them that will tell you the truth that you need to hear when you're listening to yourself and other deceivers that will lead you astray to a land known as Ziklag. We need people in our lives who love us enough to tell us that our thoughts and actions are off track, even if and when it hurts, says Moore. When we're struggling, we're tempted to isolate ourselves, to run from the very people that we need. I know that you know this place. I know that you've seen it, if not felt it. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Victory is won through many advisors." As waters reflect the face, so one's life reflects the heart, says Proverbs 27:19. You got to do life together. You got to know well enough to understand what's going on underneath. The long trial had taken its toll on David. David had become his own worst counselor. The man after God's own heart had now crossed over to live with the enemy and had settled in to Ziklag. Self-counsel led the man of God into a life of hypocrisy, duplicitous living, and cover-up. Hear that again. Self-counsel led the man of God into a life of hypocrisy, duplicity, and cover-up. Some thoughts to reflect on. Describe a time when you felt God's plan was not working and you decided to take matters into your own hands. Think about it. Explain the dangers of being disconnected from community and koinonia as it relates to self-counsel. Think about that. The dangers of disconnecting from true koinonia, which is in and of itself dangerous, but especially in the context of then succumbing to self-counsel. Or, if I can add, the equally harmful wrong counsel of fellow citizens of Ziklag. some thoughts to prepare you for chapter 6.